mind now. Recording. So never mind, even though what he shared was not recorded, but because today is to commemorate the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which is the first sermon immediately after the Buddha became enlightened. Initially, he didn't want to come out and share this teaching, just like what I explained at the dinner time just now, to some of the Kayamita who came and joined me for dinner. During that time, because what the Buddha realized was so profound, and he knew ordinary people who don't have the condition can never understand this teaching. That's why he was not keen to teach. He was reluctant, really. And he doesn't want to do anything. Then Sahampati, the Brahma, I think, can read his mind and came down respectfully, appealed to the Sammasambuddha, informing him that there are some with little dust in the eye that can understand him. Then he reflected, who has little dust who can understand him? He remembered the first two teachers, Alara and Udaka. But then he checked, they passed away. One of them was 1 week ago, the second one was the day before. So no more condition because of their belief that those jhanic state that they believe is the ultimate for rebirth in the meditation. That was their firm determination, aspiration to take birth there. And because of that firm determination or adhittan, they will have to die before Sammasambuddha Sakyamuni become fully enlightened. Then after that he reflected again, who else? And then he remembered the five ascetic. That's why he checked where they are. Then he went there, walked there to meet up with them and expounded this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, which essentially is the essence of his Four Noble Truth teaching. This Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is the three turning of the Four Noble Truth as expounded by Sakyamuni, his earliest and most comprehensive teaching. That's why today we are supposed to commemorate this first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. After us, during the puja, we will chant this particular sutta. Then we will also maybe share the translation tonight, because it's very important. And the condition is such, during that time when we were having dinner, Brother Song sat next to me. Then he told me, Brother Teo, this 2 weeks when you are away, a lot of things happen. Then he wanted to share. And then, very strange, he said, maybe not now, later, he said. that time, Alicia, they all together, Padmasri, Brother Teo, and the daughter, they were there, and Freddy. Then I said, okay, we share later. Then just now, I thought 8 o'clock, we start puja. I read it wrong. 8 o'clock start to come. 8:10 only we start. That's why we still got 10 minutes at that time. Then I say, okay, then suggest Brother Song share. Then just now he share, but meant to be, not to be recorded. That's why you all didn't hear what he share. So basically what he share was very beautiful. He said, before these 2 weeks, where he worked in the tax sector, the company had to help people to submit tax. So before end of June, they are very busy. So he was busy that time. He said. But he every time on the Heart Sutta as a background. So that time he didn't pay much attention. Then last 2 weeks, because I left for Paris, I remember 2nd of July. So this last 2 weeks, because 2nd was Saturday, then Sunday was 3rd, then Monday onward, then he went to office. And this 2 week is a very strange, you know, the same Heart Sutta that he has been listening or looking through for the past so many years. This time when the chanting come out, a lot of things happen. He said all of a sudden, not only in the background, when it reached certain part, he mentioned about the part, Tian Tao, inverted view and all those things. When you see through the Dhamma, when you penetrate the truth, you will see the inverted delusion of living beings. The moment you can clear that, you will have the Dhamma, you will have the truth. And you will understand many, many things. Then he said, when it reached that part, at the heart, the nature there, it starts to vibrate. And a lot of things happen. Then deep inside, like, there's a lot of understanding just manifesting from inside. Then he decided to pay attention to that particular section. Then when he paid attention, he realized the deep meaning, is it? Last time he never had this ability to see through. He said, when you don't have this inverted view, all of suffering can be overcome. You read the actual Heart Sutta translation. Where is the chanting book? Pass to me. The actual, I better read the, no, give me the English one. Because Mandarin, I'm not good. Oh, this one don't have English one. Don't have. Where is the one? The retreat book should have one. Retreat book should have. Yeah, I remember the retreat book you should have. You see, when he realized, therefore, in true emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no cognition, no formation or sankhara, or consciousness, no eye, no ear, means the organ, they don't exist. Then, no sight, no sound, no smell, no taste, no object of touch or dhamma. No feel of eye up to the mind consciousness. And no ignorance or ending of ignorance up to and including no old age, sickness and death, or ending of old age, sickness and death. Then there is even no suffering, cause of suffering, or accumulation, cessation, and the path that lead to the end of suffering, means the Four Noble Truths. And no understanding and no attaining, because nothing is attained. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, which is the perfection of wisdom, is unimpeded in his mind. This is the part. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, or there is no fear. And he leaves distorted dream thinking, means inverted view, distorted dream thinking, the heedless thinking mind, far behind. Ultimately, he realized Nirvana. Han, you can make the offering, we haven't started. Then, because of that, he said, all Buddhas of the three period of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambhogi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. And when it comes to this part, he suddenly realized a very deep truth. He realized that all suffering here means the First Noble Truth, reality of birth and death, the eight conditions that the Buddha expounded. So this part, it has a great impact on him. Then it connects. Then no wonder the Sutta said it is genuine and not false. That's why there was a lot of joy, there was a lot of understanding. Then later on, as he continued to listen, contemplate, and reflect, he realized the whole of the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta was the Four Noble Truths. And this Heart Sutta is actually the final product of the Four Noble Truths. Because the First Noble Truth final summary is what? In short, all of suffering is due to what? Our attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind. So Heart Sutta summarizes everything. The five aggregate of form and mind are empty. That's how you have to penetrate this. Then you have to cultivate until you realize that in true emptiness means the mundane and the supramundane. From the heedful and the heedless, you will penetrate all those. So he said, after he realized this, he continued to listen. Then he continued to read through the Heart Sutta. Then it was like he has never read it this way before. Because this time when he read the whole Heart Sutta, like every statement, every sentence, every word is so clear. That's why I explained to him even before he came. Because before he shared, I already told him. He said, a lot of things happened, Brother Teo. I said, I know. You don't worry. This is how it will manifest. I already predicted many months back when he told me all those things. I said, a lot of things will happen to you. You will understand that on your own. Yeah. And all this understanding come from that nature, the silent mind from within. And when you understand, it's not word anymore, it's not knowledge anymore. That's why you say like something push out from inside, very deep, very strong from the nature. Then he mentioned, he all of a sudden understood what gate, gate, parakate, parasamgate, bohisat, swaha. So this one is well gone. Gate, gate. Yeah. So gone beyond, gone beyond, gone beyond. Then he realized beyond what? Beyond the mundane to the supramundane. Yeah. Then when you go beyond, you transform from the heedless to the heedful. Then that understanding, that clarity will allow you to put behind all those inverted thinking, daydreaming type of heedless mind. And this is how enlightened being awakened. Then just now even there when we were sharing, that's why he also able to tell me the same thing that I used to tell you all. When you understand, it's very simple. It's just like your hand. Flip over, you awaken. The moment you understand, you awaken, you finish. No more. But when you don't understand, it's very difficult. Because you keep on using the thought, the mundane mind to understand. And after you understood, there is nothing. Everything is just the way it is, empty. It is just an understanding, and you are not deluded by the phenomenal world, by what this form of mind is all about. And that nature become very clear, but that nature cannot come out and live. It's not a being. It's not you. But to come, you need a vehicle, a tool. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind is your karmic vehicle and to karmically condition out for you to come to this world. And all this understanding was settled down. And that being that went through that transformation will finally understand. That's why I told him you will go through and many, many more. A lot more will happen. And as it transforms, existing develops, the understanding is completely beyond the living being's comprehension. That's why the real cultivation is not what you think. It is no longer words. It's no longer knowledge. The understanding is prajna. That's why he said the Heart Sutta is called the perfection of wisdom, prajna paramita. And in essence, it's just the Four Noble Truths. The essence of the Buddha's teaching, and it's all linked to the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That's why today it so happened the condition is Padmasri came to know that this is the day where the first sermon was done. Yeah lah, last night, huh? Means we supposed to have the special puja. That's why he requested before I went off for my holiday. I said, no problem, come. Then I say, use our Kayamita fund to pay for all the puja offering and everything. Stephanie is here, not? Oh, he reimbursed her. Huh? So that all Kayamita get to partake in this wholesomeness. You all should say sadhu to Brother Song. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And this is beautiful and very profound. Although he said it in Mandarin. If you have recorded, it will be a lot better for the Mandarin people. But nevertheless, I was able to summarize it for you in English, which is better. But the actual version, not meant to be recorded. That's why you did it. But those who heard, I think, you all can recall, can appreciate. And very funny, you know, he don't want to use the mic. So those who are at the back, maybe you don't hear him so clearly, but because we sat near him, that's why we can receive. But whatever it is meant to be. So that's why today is a very important day, very auspicious. And we have to have faith to chant this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta after that. Then I will go through the English version with you all. I feel that the English version is more important. It has greater impact when you understand the meaning. Otherwise, it's just vibration. And the Pali word you can understand, of course, is very good, but it's not easy for you to understand because we are not from that culture. Then, even if it's like recited, you can only develop that type of faith with that partial understanding. But when I explain the English, it will go in deep, and it's meant to be, and the timing is such, this teaching has to come out, and it's going to be very, very different. It has this ability to transform living being, the potency to bring about great transformation. So that's why the recorder also came in time for us to record all this. We should thank Hui Rong and Anne for bringing the recorder. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can start our puja. So tonight maybe we get the sixth person who initiated all this and did the sharing. Brother Teo, the daughter, then Pamasuri, then Brother Song, Alicia, one more, Hui Rong, Yun Chan, okay, come. Hui Rong and Yun Chan, come. We put one more for you to like, come. Okay, come, let us stand and start the puja lighting. Hong, get one more candle. No, never mind, you get one more. Make it seven. Seven is the right number. Seven factors of enlightenment. Yeah. Never mind, no need. Come. It's okay. Yeah. I can put it in the bowl. Come. Yeah. There are two more lighter. Come. Fang Ching. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Come and light. No need to wait. Come. Yeah, the candle there. Then there's another one there. Yeah. Yun Chan, you light the other one. You light the incense. Jingle chili. No need. Kao liao. Enough already. Seven. No. With the incense. Enough. Then the Brother Song, you light already? Then get my wife to light the last one. She put there. Like. 这个是第八个。 Yeah. Hello. So now if we count noble eightfold path, eh? You got eight now. Okay, sadhu. I'll just leave it there. Okay, we start with the tray, huh? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, in order to save time, eh? You all continue. The rest we offer together after. Sadhu, 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 pass that one wrong. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we offer the rest of the item, eh? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated, then we can start the puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, yeah, to develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then mindfully we shall chant, yeah, the puja chanting. Today is a very auspicious day. Yeah? It marks the commemoration of the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the day when it was delivered by Sakyamuni. Yeah. Okay. Namo Bensi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Bensi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Bensi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then today we will chant the usual puja chanting. Then to page 1. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the puja offering, yeah? Significance of it. We will chant the Padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sara padithena dithena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yuthena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang thang. Puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasabhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muthamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muthamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muthamang. Now we make aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall inspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya strengthen until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect, triple jab. Then after that, we will chant the invocation to the devas before we do the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta chanting. Okay. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, I will chant the Devaradhana invitation, evocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation. In this universe in their entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhaman Muni Rajasa
Sunantu sakamokkadang Dhammasvanankalo ayang badanta Dhammasvanankalo ayang badanta Dhammasvanankalo ayang badanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampano Sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sattha deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanayiko Pachatang veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.
Let us now turn to page 34 of the retreat chanting book, which is in front of you. We will commence the chanting of Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, the first sermon as delivered by the Buddha. We got this chanting tape to guide you. Yeah. Use this mic. Yep. Nah, you do it. You better do it. You put this one next to it. Page 34.
Anuttarang sambujitava tathagato Patamangyam adese si dhamma chakam anuttarang Sammadeva pavatendo loke apativattiyam Yathakatha hubovantha patipatti cha majjima Chatusvariya sache suvisuddhaṃ jnāna dassanaṃ Desitaṃ dhamma rājena sammā sambodhi kītanaṃ Nāmena visuttaṃ suttaṃ dhamma chakā pavatanaṃ Vaiyā karana pāpena saṅgitandham banāmase
Devam me sundhāṁ
Ekaṁ samhayaṁ bhagavā pāranasiyaṁ viharati sipatrane bhigadāye dhātrako bhagavā panchavākiyaṁ tena sevita bayo chayang kame sukha masukalika nuyogo hino gamo bodu janiko anariyo anata sanyito yo chayang atakila mata nuyogo duko anariyo anata sanyito Patipada tathagatena abhisambuddha chaku karani jnana karani upasamaya abhinyaya sambodaya nirvanaya sangva tatikatama chasabhe kave majima patipada tathagatena abhisambuddha chaku karani Karani upasamaya abhinyaya sambodaya nirvanaya sangva tati ayameva ariyo akangiko mago seyati dan sammaditi samma sangapo samma vacha samma kamando samma ajivo samma vayamo samma sati samma samadhi ayanko sabhekave majjhima patipada tathagatena abhisambuddha chaku karani jnana karani upasamaya abhinyaya sambodaya nirvanaya sangva tati idango panabhekave dukkhaṃ ariya sacchaṃ jati pidukkha jara pidukkha maraṇaṃ pidukkhaṃ soka parideva dukkha domana supāyāsa pidukkha apiyehi sambayogo dukkho piyehi vipayogo dukkho yambi candalabhati sambidukkhaṃ saṅkhitena pañcupādāna gandha dukkha idaṅkho panabhikkhave dukkha samudayo ariya sacchaṃ yāyaṃ tanha pono bhavikā nandirāga sahagatā tatra-tatra vinandini seyatidaṃ kāma-tanhā bhava-tanhā vibhava-tanhā idaṅkho panabhikkhave dukkha nirodho ariya sacchaṃ yotā sa yeva tanhā yasesa virāga nirodho chāgo patinissāgo murti anālayo idaṅkho panabhikkhave dukkha nirodha gāmini patipadā ariya sacchaṃ ayameva ariyo akaṅgiko mago seyati idaṃ sammāditi sammā saṅkhappo sammā vācā sammā kammanto sammā ācivo sammā vāyāmo sammā sati sammā samādhi idaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya sacchanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusutte sudhamme sucakkhum udapādi jñānaṃ udapādi paññā udapādi vicā udapādi ālokaṃ udapādi taṅkho panidaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya sacchaṃ pariññeyanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusutte sudhamme sucakkhum udapādi jñānaṃ udapādi paññā udapādi vicā udapādi ālokaṃ udapādi taṅkho panidaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya sacchaṃ pariññātanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusutte sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnana udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari idanduka samudayo arya sacchanti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnana udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari tango panidandu kasamudayo arya sacchanti Bahata Banti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari tango panidandu kasamudayo arya sacchaṃ pahinanti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari idam dukkha nirodho arya sacchanti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari tango panidandu kanirodo arya sacchaṃ sacchikāta banti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari tango panidandu kanirodo arya sacchaṃ sacchikatanti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari idandu kanirodha gamini patipada arya sacchanti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari tango panidandu kanirodha gamini patipada arya sacchaṃ bhāveta banti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari tango panidandu kanirodha gamini patipada arya sacchaṃ bhāvitanti me bhikkhave pumbe anadu sute sudamme sucakum udapari jnanam udapari panya udapari vija udapari aloko udapari Yavaki vancham me bhikkhave imme sucatu su arya sacce su me vanti parivatam duvada sakaran yathabhutam jnanadasanam nasuvisudam ahosi nevatavaham bhikkhave sadevake loke sambharake sabrahmake sasamana Brahmaniya Pajaya Sadeva Manusaya Anuttaram Samma Sambodhin Abhisambodho Pajanya Singh Yato Chako Me Bhikkhave Ime Suchatus su ariya sa che su ve vandi parivatam dhuva dasakaram yata bhutam jnana dasanam su ve sudam aho si hatahan bhikkhave sa deva ke loke samvara ke samramma ke sa samana brahmaniya pachaya sa deva manusaya adhukarang samma sambodhin abhisambudho pachanya singyanam chapanameda sanam udapadiya kupame vimuti ayamanti majati nati dani kundabhavoti dhammavocha bhagava Atamana panchava kiya bhikkhu bhagavato bhasitam abhinandum yamasamin japanavaya karanasamin panyamane ayasamato kondanya savirajam vitamalam dhammachakum udapariyam kinshi samudaya dhamman sabandhan nirodha dhammandi pavattithe jambhagavata dhammachake bhumma deva sadhammadu savesum etam bhagavata varanasiyam isi patane migandaye adhutaram dhammachakam bhavatitam apativatiyam samanena va brahmanena va devena va marena va brahmuna va kena chiva lokasmin divummanam devanam sadam sutava chatum maharajika deva sadam adusavesum chatum maharajikanam devanam sadam sutava thavatim sadeva sadam adusavesum thavatim sanam devanam sadam sutava yama deva sadam adusavesum yamanam devanam sadam sutava tusita deva sadam adusavesum tusitanam devanam sadam sutava nirmanarati deva sadam adusavesum nirmanaratinam devanam sadam sutava paranirmita vasavati deva sadam adusavesum paranirmita vasavatinam devanam sadam sutava brahmakayika deva sadam adusavesum etam bhagavata varanasiyam isipatane migadaye anuttaram dhammachakam bhavatitam apativatiyam samanena va brahmanena va devena va varena va brahmuna va kena chiva lokasmin dhirtihatena kanena tena muhurtena yava brahmaloka sado abhukashi ayam jadasasahasi lokada tusangam visambakam visambavehi apamano chaholaro obaso loke paduraho siratikameva devanam devanubhavam atako bhagava udanam udane siyanya sivatabho kondanyo anya sivatabho kondanyo tihitihidam aya samato kondanya sahanya kondanyo daveva namam aho siti dhammacakkappavattana sutam nittitam.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now go through the English. Yeah? Turn to page 35, the English translation. Yeah. This Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which is the first sermon as proclaimed by the Buddha Sammasambuddha Sakyamuni Buddha immediately after his enlightenment, after he came out to meet the five ascetic, is a very important first sermon sutta. It summarized all of his essential teaching, the essence of his teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, which is the Four Noble Truths. And this one, he turned it three times. And even he himself, as a Sammasambuddha at that time, come to this understanding that even he himself need to understand this Four Noble Truths in his three turning and 12 mode before he can proclaim to be the fully enlightened one, or the enlightened one. So that shows to us how important these three turnings of the Four Noble Truths are. And it is this three turning that give rise to the three type of wisdom that accomplish the three turning. That's why you have to develop them. The first turning is like we used to go through. We call it the Suttamaya Panya wisdom. When you develop this wisdom through the first turning, means you have heard the chanting or the proclamation of the first noble truth, second noble truth, third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth by the Buddha. Or nowadays, maybe through his teaching, we have them. Then when we hear them, or we hear it from somebody who re-proclaim it, that you can develop wisdom out of this hearing of the sutta. There is a type of wisdom that can arise. And the Buddha called it Suttamaya Panya, means wisdom born of hearing his sutta or discourse. Then after that, he said, you have to turn this Four Noble Truths a second time to develop deeper understanding, giving rise to Cittamaya Panya. Cittamaya Panya is wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths that has been proclaimed by the Buddha. And he guided us in this sutta as how you can do the second turning. So under the first Noble Truth, for example, address we will go through, after he proclaimed the first Noble Truth of suffering or Arya Satcha, the Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering, he said you need to reflect and contemplate on what his second turning is all about. Under the second turning, he just said this Noble Truth of suffering, which is dukkha, that he has proclaimed, is to be understood. Just like that, is to be understood. Then you have to reflect, you have to contemplate. Of course, the first question is like what we used to go through. Why did the Buddha say that? Why did he say this first Noble Truth or dukkha is to be understood? Why? If you can't understand this Noble Truth, means what? Means what? Why must you understand the first Noble Truth? Because it is the Noble Truth that talk about what? So if you don't understand this Noble Truth, means what? You don't understand what dukkha is. Means you are in the midst of suffering without knowing that you are suffering. So how can you understand life? How can you understand his teaching? That's why this Noble Truth of suffering, the eight reality that the Buddha mentioned, is to be understood. So the first one, why, we now understand. That's why we determine to understand. Then the second inquiry is, how can we understand? So the how is very important.
So when you know that you have to understand, because without this understanding, you will be caught in the midst of suffering without knowing that you are suffering. So at least now, after you have understood what these eight conditions are and how it brings about suffering, then the nature of suffering can be understood. That's why this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So how can we understand it? We have to reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha has proclaimed. How do we reflect? The Buddha said, birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering. So we reflect. What is birth? As you reflect, you recall to mind, recollect through the mind. That is what mindfulness is all about. The whole process of birth that you have witnessed before, or you have seen before, or you have read before. That's how you reflect, you contemplate, you inquire into it. And then you will be able, through your reflection, to awaken to the process of birth. Then, through that silent reflection, awareness, you will come to a point where you all of a sudden will understand why the Buddha said birth is suffering. Well, last time you take for granted. You think birth is all happy ending. Look forward to the full moon day. Look forward to be a father, mother. But you never reflect and contemplate on the whole birth process, which is full of suffering. And when there is complication, when things don't go your way, then because of attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, suffering arise. So likewise for all the other realities of life and existence that the Buddha proclaimed under the First Noble Truth, you have to reflect them, contemplate and inquire deep into that. Then after that, you develop the second turning understanding. The moment you understand what dukkha is, means you know what suffering is. Then you know the cause behind suffering, which is the Second Noble Truth. Then you will also come to understand, under the Third Noble Truth, that all of suffering can end. Suffering need not be. When you develop the understanding and the wisdom of his teaching, then you also understand that there is a path, namely Noble Eightfold Path, that leads to the end of all suffering. That's how you penetrate his teaching. From the first turning, you penetrate. Then there are three phases of Dhamma. Phase one is Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. That's why you have to listen first to understand his teaching. Then second turning, you have to reflect, contemplate and inquire so that you can assimilate whatever that the Buddha has proclaimed under the First Noble Truth and stabilize the understanding, then assimilate them into your nature so that this understanding will stabilize and allow you to develop a deeper wisdom called Cittamayapanya, wisdom born of constant reflection, contemplation and inquiry into the Noble Truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. That's why all these second turning pointers are very important. Under the Second Noble Truth, they say, this Second Noble Truth that explains to you the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, is to be one. Craving is to be one. Second turning of the Second Noble Truth. Abandon. You have to abandon it or severe it. Then you inquire. Why did the Buddha say that? And how can I develop this understanding and ability to abandon it? Means it will lead to the end of all suffering. Then the Third Noble Truth. Again, the Buddha repeat. There is a Third Noble Truth. Cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now. And under the second turning, this cessation, which is Nibbana, is to be realized. Then you inquire again, why did the Buddha say it? And how can I realize this? That's why all this turning you have to go through. Then the Fourth Noble Truth is even more interesting. The Buddha said there is a Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So the second turning, he said, this Noble Eightfold Path is to be what? Cultivator. It's no more understanding. No. Understanding is not enough. No. The theory is not enough, no. You have to cultivate, means put it into practice. That's why the second phase of Dhamma is, after Pariyatti, is Patipatti. Patipatti is to put into practice the teaching. Then when you realize it, the third phase of Dhamma will arise. The third phase of Dhamma is Pativeda. You will receive the fruition of it, the fruit of your cultivation, your hard work. You will get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. So all these are tied together. And all these are teaching from Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And in the Sutta, after I share with you, you will come to realize, the Buddha said even he himself at that time as a Sammasambuddha, as a Bodhisattva before he becomes Sammasambuddha, he has to understand this Four Noble Truth in its three turning and 12 mode before he can proclaim to be the enlightened one. So what more for living beings like us? So this is a very important reminder to all cultivators. Don't think it is so easy. If you have not done the three turning, I can tell you, no way. No way you can awaken. Okay? So now we will go through. I'll read through to you in English. Then in between, if you got any question, you can ask. We will use the whole of today to go through this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. That's why it's meant to be a very auspicious day. Okay, the introduction to the sutta. Just now you chant the Pali version, Anuttarang Abhisambohin Sambhujya Dva Tathagato. The meaning is, this is the first teaching of the Tathagata on attaining the unexcelled perfect enlightenment. Means after becoming the Sammasambuddha, this is his first teaching. That's why it's called the first sermon. Dhammacakka is the wheel. The wheel. So the first turning of the Dhamma wheel. That's why this Dhamma is called Dhamma. Chakka is the wheel. Dhammacakka. Pavattana Sutta. The first turning of the Dhamma wheel by the Buddha after his enlightenment. So this is the first teaching of the Tathagata on attaining to the unexcelled perfect enlightenment. Here is the perfect turning of the incomparable wheel of truth. That's why he used the wheel. It also symbolizes samsara. Understand? Yeah? You know what is samsara? Wheel of birth and death. Yeah. So when he turned this wheel, he is trying to explain to you samsara, which is eternal birth and death, you will be trapped. So you need to have this wisdom, this understanding leading to this type of enlightenment or realization for you to free yourself so that you can escape from this wheel of suffering or wheel of birth and death. In Mandarin, Mahayana, they call it Liao Sen Si, to transcend birth and death, to liberate from that wheel of birth and death, so that you will not have to come back to take rebirth or to come back to samsara to suffer again. These goals here are two extreme, and the middle path or middle way with the Four Noble Truth and the purified knowledge and vision pointed out by the Lord of Dhamma. Then they say, let us chant together this sutta proclaiming the supreme independent enlightenment that is widely renounced as the turning of the wheel of Dhamma. So this is how the sutta starts. Thus have I heard once the Blessed One was sojourned near Benares at Isipatana in the deer park. So this Pali word Evangme Sutang means thus have I heard. The sutta always start with this. Thus means suchness. Then the Blessed One addressed the company of the five ascetic or bhikkhus. Bhikkhu, these two extremes should be should not be followed by one who has gone forth from the home to the homeless life. So these two extremes must be avoided by those who wants to walk the path of Dhamma or walk the holy life. The giving up to the pleasure of senses or sensual indulgence, which is low, vulgar, worldly, unworthy, and harmful, and the giving up to self-mortification, which is the other extreme, which is painful, unworthy, and harmful. O bhikkhu, by avoiding these two extremes, the Tathagata has found the middle path, which gives the vision, gives the knowledge, which tends to peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. And what, O bhikkhu, is this middle path, or middle way, which is found out by the Tathagata, which gives the vision, which gives the knowledge, which tends to peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. It is this very noble eightfold path, namely, right view or right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood or right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. This, O bhikkhu, is that middle path which is found out, which is realized, actually should be the word, by the Tathagata, which gives vision, which gives knowledge, which tends to peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. Then we have the first turning of the four noble truths. Now this, O bhikkhu, is the first Aryan truth of suffering. Birth is suffering. Decay and old age is suffering. Sickness and disease is suffering. Death is suffering. To be conjoined with things, people that we dislike, is suffering. To be separated from things which we like or our loved one is suffering. Not to get what one desires, that is also suffering. In short, these five aggregates, which are the objects of grasping, are suffering. That's why in Pali word is called upadana khandas. Khandas are aggregate. Upadana is grasping aggregate. This five aggregate of grasping is what dukkha is all about. What are they? They are rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. So the English translation of form, they put there metal. So this is the English word. A more appropriate word is form, physical form of a living being, and the external mental form of all those that your senses can capture. So form, there are two types, mental form and actual physical form. This relate to the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then you have the second aggregate of vedana, which is feeling. You can feel hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. Then there is this sanya. Sanya is also translated as perception. Whatever you come to perceive, that is the external form. That's how the perception aggregate brings the external form into the mind. That's how the five aggregate of form and mind can also arise within the mind, within every moment of consciousness. And that is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. That is what the Buddha was referring to under the dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca samuppada. Okay? Then we go on to the third aggregate, which is sankara. Sankara is mental activity, mental states, mental intention, tendency, and mental formation, etc. Anything that your mind can do, the content of consciousness, including feeling and perception, they are all sankara. All of your mental state, 52 of them. Even your deceitfulness, cunningness, they are all part of sankara. Then the last one is, of course, consciousness, the last aggregate. The mind can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these are the five aggregates. So the Buddha said, these five aggregates of an arahant, they are simply pure khandhas. And of people, they are known as upadana khandhas, as they are based on grasping. Grasping is upadana. So now you understand. Without wisdom, you can never, never break free. You can never, never cut or want to do good. Understand? Because all of your five aggregate, because of the avijja, ignorance, they will become grasping aggregate because of your self-delusion, the egoic mind. That's why you cannot break free. Whereas those of an arahant who have freed their mind, liberated their mind, they are non-grasping. They are pure, without delusion. So now you understand why I say wisdom you cannot learn. You have to awaken to it. As like the Buddha said, I can only show you the way, explain to you how this thing can be done. But you have to realize it yourself, awaken yourself. That's why he cannot make you enlightened, understand? He can only show you the way. You have to realize it yourself. You have to cultivate it yourself. So this is a very important understanding. Then the moment you understand, like I say, you will not hold. You will not grasp, understand not? Then you need to let go or not? Who let go? The fellow holding try to let go. Upadana khanda, grasping aggregate. Oh, this is suffering, I don't want. I want to let go. You go and practice that type of thought-based meditation. You can do it for eternity, I tell you. Practice how to let go. Who let go? The deluded mind, egoic mind, try to let go. There is no such thing as letting go. In the true sense of that word, letting go is only to be done by people who hold. How can he let go? But the moment you awaken and understand, you will not hold. Where is the need to let go? Understand? Well, you are not deluded by it anymore. You are not deceived by it anymore. The phenomenal world has got no more power over you. That's why you don't grasp, you don't hold. That's why the arahant, they are pure aggregate, non-grasping. You don't go and practice non-grasping, no. Practice non-attachment, no. Practice to be aware, no. That one is all the thought, the egoic mind. Who practice? The thought practice. That's why the thought come out in method, technique, and all those funny thing, idea, to deceive you, to delude you, to confuse you further. The real meditation is just aware, silent. The moment you are without thought, you are in that meditative state of awareness. Why can't you understand this? Then don't practice anymore. You don't go and quote me, but you say don't practice. No need to practice or do what you like. Hell break loose. What I'm referring to is not to use thought-based meditation to practice, understand? Cultivation is to be developed through wisdom. You cultivate with understanding. That's why I always say you meditate with understanding. And then you will realize there is nobody inside there meditating. It's just the silent mind that is silent. There is no atta that will awaken, that will realize. There is nobody inside. That's why it's anatta. Non-self. He know you, he know me. If you are not silent and still without thought, the egoic mind will be there. The atta will be there. And there is no way you can break free. You will be trapped in thought. Now you understand? Yeah? So this upadana khandas is very important. Okay? Then we go on. Next page. The English translation, 37. Nowadays, the Buddha said, O bhikkhu is the second Aryan truth of the origin or cause of suffering. It is this craving that leads back to birth, along with the lure and the lust that finds pleasure now here, now there, namely the three types of craving. Craving for sensual desire or sense pleasure. And that one in Pali is called what? Craving is tanha, isn't it? Kama tanha. K-A-M-A, no R. Kama tanha. Kama is sensual. Sensual craving. So the first type of craving is called sensual craving. Then the other craving is craving to be, or for existence, to become somebody, to become something. The attachment, the clinging. Then the other one is, the last one, is craving for non-existent or not to be. Because all this craving to be and not to be is based on the self-delusion that there is a being that is becoming something. That's why you become human being. You become the CEO of the company. You become a king, an emperor. You become a what they call gangster, or a lawyer, a professional, or whatever. That becoming is the self-delusion that you take. You entangle yourself. You think you exist. You think you are real. That's why the egoic mind creates the personality of the I and the me. That's how the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion arise. When this personality, the egoic mind, arise, it creates the self-delusion that you exist. Then what happened? When you exist, what happened? You are different from the rest, anasana. Then you will have greed, selfishness. You want to own things. You want to possess things. That's why that greed arise, the evil root. The possessiveness arise, that craving to have arise. Craving to become arise. And because you think you exist, when things don't go your way, you are unhappy, you are miserable. That's why the evil roots of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, all this arise. All come from self-delusion, sakkayadity, believing that you exist. Then the last one is delusion. Delusion is not understanding the truth. That's why you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. Your mind becomes restless, and that is delusion. Fear is the source of delusion. When you don't understand, the three evil roots kicks in. That's how it deceives you, delude you, and condition you to grasp and cling and hold. Because you think it is real. You think you exist. You think the five areas of form and mind are so real. Because you can feel. You can perceive. You can arise thought process. You think you exist. You think you are the original thinker behind the thought. Yeah, you cannot see all this. You think you can become conscious of things. And everything that you experience to you is so real. You cannot see the phenomenal, the characteristic, the universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering. Impermanent leading to grasping. Because you cannot see. You think they are very real. They can last. And they exist. That's why you want to own them, hold on to them, cling on to them, grasp on to them. Even through memory, you cannot let go. Because you are deluded. That's why you cannot let go. And you practice letting go. How foolish is that? So all this, when you understand, that's why I say, the moment you understand, it's like the flipping over of the pump. From delusion, you wake up. No longer deluded. Then that mind free, no longer entangled, non-grasping, because it's no longer deluded, not deceived anymore. Okay, we go on. Then the third noble truth, the Buddha said, now this O bhikkhu is the third Aryan truth of cessation of suffering. Verily is the forsaking, the release from, and the detachment from this craving. Now this ubiku is the fourth Aryan truth of the path leading to the end of all suffering. Verily is the Noble Eightfold Path. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. Then after that is the second turning. The Buddha said, this is the Aryan truth of suffering. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding. There arose in me wisdom. Oh, sorry. The first one is vision. There arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding. There arose in me wisdom. And there arose in me light. This first Aryan truth of suffering or dukkha is to be understood. This is the second turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding. There arose in me wisdom, and there arose in me light. This first noble truth of dukkha or suffering has already been understood. This is the third turning. O Bhikkhu, thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding. There arose in me wisdom. And there arose in me light. So all this is repeated. You know why? Well, every turning there is this wisdom, there is this understanding, there is this liberation of mind. So that's why the Buddha keep on repeating, is it? There arose in me vision to the direct seeing. There arose in me understanding. They use the word knowledge. Actually, it's not knowledge. It's the understanding. But there is no better English word. So that's why they use the equivalent word of knowledge. It's not actual knowledge. It's a type of understanding. That's why I prefer the other word, which is understanding. Then there arose in me wisdom, which is the what they call awakening. Then there arose in me light. Like there is clarity, understand? Not to say you see light, then you think you can become enlightened. You think enlightenment has something to do with light. No. It's just you awaken, you have clarity, understand? Like overcome darkness, understand? Means you awaken to it. Then he continued with the second noble truth. This is the second Aryan truth of the origin of suffering. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning thing unheard before. Then there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and light. Then this second Aryan truth or the origin of suffering should be abandoned. Or cause of suffering should be abandoned. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning thing again, he repeat. Then after that, he said, this second noble truth of the origin of suffering has already been abandoned. This is the third turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, again repeated. Then this is the third noble truth of the cessation of suffering, which is the realization of Nibbana. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before. Then again he repeat. Then he said the second turning. This third Aryan truth of the cessation of suffering should be realized, is to be realized. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before. Then the third turning, he said, this cessation of suffering of the third noble truth has already been realized. Means you already enlightened. That's why the third turning is all about enlightenment. That's why that type of wisdom is called Bhavana Maya Panya, the third turning wisdom. Wisdom born of meditation, meditative discipline, or Bhavana. Means the direct seeing. Then similarly, the fourth noble truth, next page, the Buddha said, this fourth noble truth, which is the Noble Eightfold Path under the second turning, should be cultivated, is to be cultivated. Then the third turning has already been cultivated, means again enlightenment. Then under number eight, now O Bhikkhu, as long as my knowledge and insight of the four noble truth under these three turning or aspects and 12 modes, in their essential nature was not perfectly clear to me, So long, O Bhikkhu, I did not profess in this world among the Devas, Maras, Brahmas, among the hosts of recluse and Brahmins, including gods and mankind, that I have gained the incomparable supreme enlightenment. That's why the Buddha stated very clearly. Not until he has developed the three turning wisdom, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one. Then he continued, he said, when O Bhikkhu, my wisdom and insight of the Four Noble Truths under the three turning and 12 modes in their essential nature was clear to me, then only O Bhikkhu did I profess in this world among the Devas, including Maras, Brahmas, among the hosts of recluse and Brahmins, including gods and mankind, that I have gained the incomparable supreme enlightenment. There arose in me knowledge and insight. Sure in my heart's release, this is my last birth. There is no more becoming for me. That's why he proclaimed this. There is a famous, I think, Dhammapada verse or one, where you all used to recite last time. It's something about old house builder. I have seen thee, you shall build no more house, for thy rafter has been shattered, or ridgepole has been shattered. It's in your puja also. Oh yeah. I think Padmasuri put it in. Yeah, very good. So maybe we get to read it. Is it at the last page or what? Or before that? Middle, after the chanting, I remember. I saw it. Page 11. Anika jati sangsarang. The pagan of joy. Pagan of joy. Udana gata. Anika jati sangsarang. Sanda visan ani visang. Gaha karakang. Gavi Santo. I better sit down and read. We read the English translation. Through many a birth, the Buddha said, I wander in this samsara, the endless cycle of birth and death, seeking but not finding the builder of this house. See? Sorrowful is repeated birth. O house builder, you are sin. You shall build no house again. All thy rafter are broken. Your ridgepole shattered. You know what is a ridgepole or not? The top member, the top piece that hold all the rafter together on. Where you put all the rafter to support the tiles, the roofing tiles. How many of you are in construction? PJ or no? PG or no? You know that ridgepole or not? The very long, at the apex of your roof, there's one center post. Very long beam. They call it the ridgepole. That one shattered means what? All your rafter cannot sit on it. Understand? That's why you shall build no house. Without that one, you cannot even put up the roof. So this one is very beautiful. All thy rafter are broken. Your ridgepole shattered. My mind has attained the unconditioned. Achieved is the end of craving. That's why visankara gatang chitang means the mind has realized the unconditioned. Then no more craving. Tangha nang kaya majina majigati. So this one is very meaningful. So when the Buddha realized the enlightenment, he chanted this. Then we continue. I think a bit more to go. We shall finish. That's why this three turning of the Four Noble Truths is very important. Thus spoke the Blessed One, and the companies of the five bhikkhu or ascetic were glad and rejoiced at the words of the Blessed One. When this discourse was expounded, there arose in the Venerable Kondanya the pure and stainless eye of truth. Whatsoever is of an originating nature is subject to cessation. That's why straight away Kondanya become a sotapan, first stage of sainthood. It's just exactly like what Asajito Sariputta. You remember Asajito Sariputta? Yeah? You all can recall that. Yeah? What did he tell Sariputta? You all cannot remember. Very similar to this. Because Asaji, when he went for Pindapat after the first sermon, his mind was very different, because after that the Buddha continued with the other Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, remember? The Sutta on non-self or empty nature of existence. Then all the five ascetics become Arahant. That's why after that Asaji went on alms round. He was alone that day. Then this Sariputta to be at that time, I think he had a different name before he was called Sariputta. He was observing this Asaji. He realized Asaji was so calm, so peaceful, and the mind is so different. There is a reading. So he followed Asaji and wait till he finished his pinnapat, have his meal, that he approached him. Then he actually praised Asaji, he said, the serene one, he said, you are so calm, so peaceful, and so radiant. May I know who your teacher is? And what does he teach? Then Asaji, you know, very humble, refused to say much. He said, I am still new, he said. I know very little, he said. Then Sariputta knew that Asaji has been very humble. So he said, don't worry, I don't need much word. You just repeat to me whatever little thing that you have heard from your teacher, he said. That will be enough. Then Asaji repeated this, this particular thing. Whatsoever is of an originating nature is subject to cessation. But he worded it in a different way. Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to? Just like that. Sariputta become a sotapan. You cannot. I repeat for you again. But Asaji add in the second part. He said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind, he said. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained. The moment he added this, Sariputta become a sotapan, realize sotapanaship. So no need to cultivate in there. Need to cultivate or not? Listen attentively and awaken. Finish. That's why Sutta Mahayapanya can be very powerful if you have your past. Because Sariputta is who? Who is Sariputta? The foremost disciple of the Buddha, Sakyamuni, in one. He has his parami from the past. That's why the moment he heard this stanza, he straightway connect. Then he pay his respect to Asaji. Then he go and look for Moggallana, because they have agreement. Whoever who found the first teacher who can awaken them, they will come and look for each other and go together and become their disciple. That's how these two become the top disciple of the Buddha, and also past affinity from the past. The essential part of the Dhamma is about condition arising. Understand not? Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. And there are causes and conditions behind their arising and passing away. What are the causes and conditions? What are they?
种因结果
means what? Everything is condition arising. Without causes, without condition, nothing arises. Because this is a phenomenal world, understand or not? A condition arising world is not the unconditioned. That's why the moment you understand this, you understand the world. It's a conditioned world. Means what? Without condition, nothing arises. When condition arises, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Means what? You cannot get the meaning. Ah, impermanent, leading to what? No, suffering is correct. But the more penetrative one is what? Because it's impermanent, you cannot try to own it and grasp it and hold on to it, understand not? Because it's not you, understand not? This is going to change, understand not? So things that are conditioned arising is not a permanent, unchanging entity, understand? So how can it be you and me? Because it is impermanent. Dependent on condition, it changes. It's in a state of flux, ever continuously transforming. Sen mie, sen mie, birth and death, arising and passing away. Everything is just dependent originating. That's why twirling, paticca samuppada, mind make ade. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. There is no reality. Why can't you penetrate this truth and realize it deeply? The moment you realize, your self-delusion is gone, eradicated, rooted out. Straight away, you like suddenly wake up from this deep delusion. There is no such thing inside there. That this is so penetrative. You have lived in this world for so long. Have you come across anything that is eternal, permanent, not dependent on condition? Even your relationship is so, what you call, flickle, understand? One moment I love you, next moment, I hate you. One moment when everything goes your way, wow, this is life, beautiful. The next moment something happened. Why me? How come like that? And even this very body of yours, is dependent on condition. It goes the way of nature. That's why it's subject to old age, sickness and death, birth. How can it be you? Consciousness come and go, is content or exhibit the same universal characteristics or impermanent, leading to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it cannot be I and me. You cannot own it. You cannot possess it. That's why it's all anatta, leading to the realization of empty nature or existence. But dependent on condition, it changes. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. You don't call die or dead. But human being, when condition ceases to be, you say die already. That's why you become miserable. You become afflicted. You suffer so much to attachment. My loved one. People whom you like and love so much. You have so much attachment to. Your possession, your wealth, your reputation, your whatever thing that you hold on to dearly. This is self-delusion. Not seeing this characteristic. That's why those who have the parami, the moment they hear this, they awaken. And it's not difficult, you know. No? And it can happen even now. Because at that time when I was cultivating, after I have this understanding, I tell myself, if somebody were to tell me this before even I have the understanding, I would have awakened exactly the same way. And it is possible. This nature from the past has this understanding. That's at the moment this is being explained, you will awaken. And you better listen to the recording. It has been explained so many times, but this time is the most complete one. Yeah. under anatta lakkhana sutta, under emptiness, all I explained before, but don't have such condition to explain so clearly. Tonight is complimentary and very good. So do listen to it. Then the last part, we finish off this one. When the foundation of the kingdom of righteousness has thus been established by the Blessed One, which is the Buddha, the devas of the earth rejoice or raise the cry. Near Benares at Isipatana in Deer Park has been established by the Blessed One the unsurpassed kingdom of righteousness, which has not been established before either by a Samana or Brahmin, a Deva, a Mara, a Brahma, or by anyone whatsoever in the world. So that moment when Dhammacakkappavattana was proclaimed, you read this one, you may not understand the significance. Because I remember I think I heard from Reverend Suwano. He good at telling story. He said, do you know what happened or not? When the Buddha proclaimed this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, after he mentioned all this, the devas of the earth, means from the Chattu Maharaja, the four heavenly king, the first Devarai, they raised the cry, they rejoice and raise the cry, that there is a Sammasambuddha that has proclaimed the truth and all those things. Then after that, the second heaven raised, then the third heaven, the fourth heaven, all until the Brahmarayam. That's why the whole of the heaven shake and vibrate and quack. Very, very strongly, because the rejoicing was fantastic. Because the arising of a Sammasambuddha is very rare. And you read some of the Mahayana Sutta, you will know how rare is it. And how much joy those beings that have the understanding will rejoice. And all of the Devarayam, Brahmarayam, and even up to the very high heaven, they were all participating. That's why you see all the earlier explanation. After the Buddha mentioned it, he mentioned about all this rhyme. You go and read through, you will know. Okay, now I finish my explanation. Any of you want to share anything or ask any question, you can. If you don't understand any part, you can ask. Don't worry. Okay, while I have a drink. You all should thank Padmasri for arranging this special puja on Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Thank you so much. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because this type of condition are rare. And for it to arise, you can never know the reason behind. Like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. So things that are meant to be will be, and there will be condition. And somebody will trigger it off. Then everything will fall into place when it's meant to be. So now you start to understand causes and conditions. Okay, well, I have a drink. You all prepare your question, or anybody who wants to share their understanding, you can also do it. Don't worry. Okay. Use the mic. I can't hear you. Use the mic. Also to help in the recording. Yun Chan, thanks.
Relative, when this Ajahn Mahabhava, when he got enlightened, also there was a lot of the in heavens, there was also a lot of this rejoicing.
You heard it from somewhere or what? The book you read. Normally there is a lot of this story, because the funny thing about this cultivation is the non-human, what I mean are mainly the devas or the higher realm, the cultivators, they know one. Actually, they know you before you come. A lot of them, they know. Because during the early day, I think I told you all before, that there's this lady, his name is also May, you know. But not this May. Tonight she's not here. She's not here. There is the Yoga May, remember? The very fair lady. No, not that one. You ought to know her one. She was the first batch. I think Yun Chan may know her. Very fair one. Teach yoga one. He did the Hindu meditation one. He from the Deva Rai come down one. He got a lot of Deva friend one. He can talk to them. He can see them one. Then he also can see the non-human one. Then you know what happened. When he do this psychic one. Jhana and all those things. Then they all up there. They tell her so much thing. And this was 1986 or 87. I think 87 or 88. Sorry, 88. 1988. How many years ago? 28 years ago. 1988. 28 years ago. 86 is 30 years. And you know what happened? I also didn't know until later on when she approached me and get to know us. Yeah, he wants to see me. Then he wants to get to know my second last teacher. Because they're all energy field one. And they up there tell her a lot of things. Later part only I came to know after I came to understand why she approached me. I was at the tape library in Brickfield. I remember that time. In charge of tape library. Then this lady, I think she was much younger than me at that time. That time I was 32 or what. She was 20-something only. But very fair one. Quite tall and very soft-spoken. Do yoga. Then there were a few days, very strange. He came like borrow tape, the Dhamma tape. But from the way she like come around and talk, I realized she got some intention on. It's not a normal person. I in charge of tape library so many years. I know. Those who are new, who really want you to advise them on, they ask questions. This one is like somebody who understand one. Then after they asked me other questions. Then later on, I came to know that her intention was to get me to introduce her to my second last teacher. Then after that, we went there. They all energy khaki on, fit in very well. Then after that, she was full of joy. Then she tell me a lot of things. Then she every time yam cha with us, he keep on laughing. Every time laughing, he's got something. The deva tell her a lot of things. Because they can read, that they can condition the other kayamita to do things. Because they can read my mind. So sometimes when I speak and share, when I thirsty, he straight away condition one to go and get a drink for me. She heard. Then after that, go certain place. They can see the non-human one. She can see one. Then sometimes up there tell her. Then he said, there got so many. Everywhere also got up there. I say, you got a lot of things to see. Like television. He said, sometimes it's not because she sees. He said, up there tell her. And the best of you know what they told her or not. Finally, later part when he came to know me quite well, then she shared a lot of things with me. He said, actually, they are up there, they already know. He said, you know what they told her or not? He said, you go and look for this relative. Then I say, why did they ask you to come and see? He say, you are the longest cultivator they have ever met, he said. That was what they tell him. Then he said, you want to understand the Dhamma, you go and see Pranatil. But she more interested in energy field. That's why I want to see my teacher. So a lot of things. That's why when it comes to the question by Yun Chan, it depends on what type of devas, understand? What type of non-human. Sometimes they also like associate with their beliefs, understand? Like during the olden days, during the India time, the most popular one was energy field, jhana and other things. Even the Hindu, they call it the kundalini practices. And even the very high level type of Hindu practices, they call it the Bhagavad Gita and all those things. I think there are a lot of these type of practices. So that time, the non-humans, the devas, they are also very fascinated by all this yogi cultivator. So they will also rejoice. Then, during that time, because before Sakyamuni Buddha came, they don't understand what enlightenment is. And those who don't have the psychic one, or energy field one, it's like no magic, nothing to show, understand? That's why they are not so interested in you. And also because they cannot do anything to you, because you don't get yourself involved in energy field. So this is also the reason why different devas or different non-human, they tend to associate with different cultivators and practices. Then sometimes if they really, really appreciate your practice, respect you and all those things, well, they can feel. And they also hear a lot of story up there. Then they will come and protect you, serve you, and all those things. Then what the Buddha teach on is very good. The Dhamma protector will protect you. Because we chant, we share merit, we transfer merit, we invoke the what they call power of merits. That's why we chant Akasata Cha Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tanganumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. So this type of closing puja to invoke the sharing of merits that we have cultivated and developed with the devas are very important and good practices. That's why Akasata Cha Bhumata means may all beings inhabiting space and earth share and rejoice in this wholesomeness. Then may they long protect the sasana. So these are very important, what they call closing puja sharing, because whatever wholesomeness and merits that we have developed, we are willing to share with them. That's why we say, devas and nagas of mighty power, may they share and rejoice in these merits. Then may they protect, long protect the dispensation of Buddha Sasana. And because we are cultivator of the way, we are also Dhamma practitioner, we walk the path of Dhamma, we are part of the Sasana. That's why they will protect you. So these are the devas which are very different. And these are not the type of devas that like energy field and all those things. Because they are Dhamma protector. They protect the true cultivator of the way. Then sometimes you read Achaman's story or even my teacher Achayantra's story. They cultivate in the forest. There's a lot of these wild animals, especially elephant, tigers, cobras, snakes and all those things. Even very poisonous type of insects and snakes. When they are there, because of their metta, because of their
perfection, their cultivation, these devas and these non-human will also protect them and help them. Then because of their metta, these beings, those, even the animal, elephant, tiger or whatever, they like can feel you one. No? They are like very tame when they are near you because they can feel you. So I have seen many of these monks who have this ability to be like very friendly with the elephant. They are not elephant trainer, no. Then sometimes the bird will come, flew to them. Then my teacher Achanyantra, he stay high up, you know, down there below the place he stay. A lot of snake one. Then there's some python down there. Then the time when I visited him, he took us up there. He doesn't allow other people to go up except his attendant and people whom he have very close affinity with, and he bring up. And he brought me up there with the other Christian, the Angkor crew, because he liked us. Then the time I saw, then while he was talking to us, then some of the snake, you know, the usual, then he just used his hand, then the snake come down. And all these things, I mean, to me, is not important, understand? No? It is part and parcel of the way the cultivator. You go that forest tradition way, you will hear a lot of this type of story. Then, regarding Yun Chan's question, is there any particular question, Yun Chan, that you want to ask? Because what you read can be true, because it does happen. No particular. On the thing.
He said when he gained enlightenment, I think there was a lot of rejoicing in the other Deva worlds and don't know, Brahma worlds or.
Because usually those are the things that they will report. Because sometimes, you know, the story get carried on. Like during the early days, when we came to know Achanyantra, the Thai monk from Thailand. At that time, he was so famous, though. But when I talk to him, I never talk about this. I never even ask him about this. But I hear a lot of his story from his disciple, the close disciple. Oh, a lot of story, fantastic type of story. But these are, I believe, to be true. Because a lot of things, see got condition or not. Got condition, maybe it will arise, then we will share some. There were a lot of this. Their story, but not important. And most of it is to do with psychic. There was one case I remember. That time, my teacher, Achanyantra, I called him the disciple. He was a yogi. He already developed his mind, his understanding. Then his jhana is very, very powerful. He can carry this jhana 24 hours with him throughout the day. He no need to sleep or lie down also in that state, jhana state. And because of that, those forest monks who are very good one, they also can feel him. No? Then there was one old monk. It seems this monk is also got special past. He met this Achanyantra. I call him to a disciple. I must clarify because this one I am telling you a story. I myself never witness it. According to the disciple, they actually met in the forest, you know, while meditating that time. Then both can feel each other. You know. Then the old monk, actually, I think he can read his past. So he knew this teacher, Achanyantra, was somebody very different. Then also he knew he will go to his place. So, then he, after that night, they went off. They didn't see each other in person. No.
but they feel each other's nature and energy, then according to the disciple, Ajahnyantra also can feel him and knew that he was somebody. Then they didn't do anything. The whole night they just meditate and let the thing pass. Then the next day, it seems that old monk went back to his temple and tell the disciple all to prepare to receive somebody. The disciple say, who? The old monk told him, there is a young monk, yogi, young yogi, not monk, sorry, yogi. He's a very special yogi. He will be our guest here today. And strange enough, that day, something happened, and he walked all the way to that monastery. Then when they see him, they talk to him and say, you must be the young yogi that my master talked about that is expected to come. So they brought him in. Then really, he saw that old monk. First time he saw him, but he felt that energy, and he knew that was the monk that was there meditating, and they all feel each other. Then after that, some conversation went by. Then he confirmed it was him. Then they had a very good, what they call dialogue. Then he invited him in and other things. Then after that, that's why this Ajahnyantra also became very famous. Because the old monk actually say something good about him and his practices and other things. And there are many, many other things, but not important. Story, forget about it. Okay? More important is the Dhamma. Sometimes too much Dhamma boring. Must hear some story. But don't go and see Brother Theo told me all this. Forget about it. Okay? Just let things be. Okay? Condition is recorded. If they want to listen, they listen. After that, if they ask you, I say, yeah, I was at the talk. You want to know more, you come and attend the class. Like that enough. No need to say too much. Otherwise, you will go and add. You know in Hokkien, ke chui ke what? Tao yu. Ka chou ka yim. Ka chou. Then become very different. End of the day, like a lot more things come out. The Dhamma is more important, understand? Even in the meditation, just like earlier on, Paramasiri, he went to Taiwan, you remember? Fagusan recently. Oh, you want to ask her to share? Well, by popular demand, pass the mic over. Yeah, let Paramasiri share. Then after that, I continue a bit.
Didn't prepare to share anything. It's just at the place. It's a very good where place to practice is condition.
Maybe you sit somewhere there. Yeah, you are too near this.
It's a very conducive way place to practice. Everything is conditioned, just like my daughter say, you go there and become a Gongji. They plan everything, the program, everything structured. Even the food, they have all kind of colors. They calculate the calories, everything for you. So you practically, you go in, they teach us two things, to relax and to be mindful. So I remember one of the activities, that make us really relax. They make us walk around the Chan Hall. The Chan Hall is very big. It's like some bigger, slightly bigger than Sumeru Hall.
Yeah.
So it's all.
Yeah. Oh.
Very fragrant.
Oh. Okay.
So they make us walk and walk and walk and walk. Say, so you're not going nowhere. Why are you in a hurry? Relax. So after sometimes walking, you will not chase after the timing, the pace.
Correct, correct.
So you will just relax, walk.
That's why so walk naturally, understand or not? Don't try to force yourself into whatever get or want. Don't go and like that slow motion on us. What for? You are trying to be mindful and that is the thought doing. Walk naturally. The moment you are silent, you are already aware, body and mind as one. Finish. Understand? Body and mind as one. Sen zai nali, sing jiu zai nali. That is correct. That is what Kaya Nupassana is all about.
Something like a forest for nature's walk. So they ask us to open all our senses.
Yeah.
Our tactile, hearing, smell, eyes, everything we can feel.
And you know how to do that or not? You have to be completely silent, understand or not? Then only your senses are clear. If you dwell on any of the sense though, finish. You cannot have that clarity. That's why it is without a center. Awareness without a center. You don't dwell anywhere. And according to her, at the meditation place, the word, the mind must have no dwelling. Huining on meditation, chan ho. Ying wu so zu. That's why that is what Huining understood. When they recite that, he straight away awakened. He realized his mind was like that. It doesn't dwell anywhere. How does your mind dwell? You understand that? How does your mind dwell? The moment you arise the aggregate, it dwells. Understand not? Like seeing consciousness. The moment you perceive, it's no more the pure seeing. You perceive. You dwell somewhere already. Because you shrink your consciousness to perceive that small thing. Instead of the spacious awareness, straight away you go there. You are no longer in pure awareness. That's why your senses are no longer operating in full capacity. You are no longer aware. Understand? Yeah? Then when you feel something again, your consciousness went there. Understand? You are dwelling there. Then when you try to perceive what you hear, you dwell there. Understand? But when you are silent and just aware, without a center, the consciousness can arise, but there is no perception. It's just aware. Finish. Then no dwelling. But don't try to live that way, understand? To live like you have to arise a thought. You have to use your aggregate, understand? But as long as there is wisdom, understanding, these aggregates are pure aggregates, non-grasping. That's why you can live life. There is no more suffering. Understand? Very good. Samo? I remember you say second day you
Actually, the first day I was trying to adjust because they asked us to follow their method. So I can't really follow. So it was a bit of confusing and I can't really see. But on the second day, they say you can follow your own method. So I was quite happy. So they also teach us sweeping method, but they call it body scanning. So they scan all the parts.
It's the same.
So on body the second scanning. Day, I remember the second session. I went into a state that the whole.
The whole chest is like empty and no breathing. I know.
Internally and externally.
Oh, okay. All very clear, yeah, continue to silent and continue to be away, I know, they will hit all those things, okay, good, sadhu. You see, earlier on she was trying to explain all this to me when she arrived, and when I asked her how was the retreat, is it like what she reported, is it first day was adjustment, yes, their method and technique is very strict, very rigid, so a lot of masala, or he said kwai loa, cannot adjust. So the Englishman or foreigner cannot adjust, and I think according to Pamasuri, more than half was non-Chinese. Then he said second day, they allow her to do her own, means you can use your own way, your own method, your own technique or whatever. Then they also had this book which you all earlier on, I think Yun Chan took it back, the method of no method, you remember? That's why when you become rigid, you cannot understand meditation correctly. But there are a lot of skillful means that can be used to establish the cultivation. So these skillful means are just method techniques or something that is skillful for you to train your mind. It's not the meditation. That's why I say you must understand. All this must be done with understanding. If you go there without understanding, you will be in trouble. That's why I say the key thing they always emphasize is relax, aware, finish. Actually, meditation is just about relaxing and aware. The four support, you look. Relax, aware, and maintain the 24-hour cultivation. Then trust. No thought. Don't do anything. Then what they forgot to advise Padmasuri was, I was trying to explain to her earlier on. I said, always remember all this fantastic mind state or experience that you go through. They are just conditioned arising state. When you are in a retreat, condition are so, conducive. All this can arise. But if it does not trigger off awakening, wisdom and understanding, it is still a conditioned state, an experience. Nothing to be joyful about. But at least the experience is something good, a byproduct of good condition. But it doesn't mean that itself implies anything. Understand? If the wisdom doesn't arise, then it's just an experience. So do not attach and cling to all this mind state. Otherwise, it becomes defilement of insight. Understand? Then your thought will project. Oh, I experienced this. Aware internally, externally. Oh, then like what she described just now, all those things. Then like totally like open up, empty. No more heartbeat, no more breathing. Everything like stop. I mean, to most people, wow, like it's fantastic mind state, isn't it? To realize that. But when you are in a retreat, all these are possible. It's nothing special. The more important thing is to relax, aware, and silent, and continue to let this understanding stabilize. Let this silent mind stabilize. Then when the condition is there, you have reflected and contemplated on the first turning, second turning, it will prepare the base for you to awaken, to receive the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. That one is the direct seeing. It will awaken by itself without thought, without anything, without even the mind telling you all these things. That's why I say when you meditate, don't try to know. Just silent, relax, aware. And be yourself. Be natural. Don't try to follow anything. Don't even try to recall what the book say, what the Buddha say, what Brother Theo say. Forget about it. When you meditate, you just meditate, silent, relax, and just aware. Otherwise, the knowledge will come in and interfere, and it will keep on stirring the mind to arise the thought, to arise the idea, the concept, and all that. Then you try to link the Dhamma, and this is not the real meditation. That's why the real meditation is just relax, aware, silent. Then let the silence develop and stabilize. Then trust. Then when it is ready, when condition is there, something will happen. That's why the third turning can happen anytime. And sometimes it may not necessarily be the third turning. Any first or second turning can also trigger awakening. Where you are ready. Your base is established. Your contemplative wisdom, your first turning wisdom, together with your second turning wisdom, contemplative wisdom, born of your inquiry, contemplation, and reflection, they have stabilized and is ready to receive truth. Then any of the three turning can trigger off awakening. Then the moment it awakens, it will understand. Then you will connect. Then after that, throughout the day, you are aware. Mindfulness is like second nature to you. You don't have to do anything to be mindful. It is there by itself. And it will stabilize. You still need to practice. Then the mind is still there. That's why I say when you bow, you just bow. Body and mind as one. No need to know. When you hit it, when the mindfulness is there, the form and mind will know. Because you are aware. The awareness and the thing move as one. So all this, if you don't go through the cultivation, you cannot understand. But never mind. Just leave it as knowledge. Don't go and hold on to it. Just leave it there. But the moment that mind awakens, and when you are in that state, it will connect and recall. Then it will understand what that thing is. No more words. Can follow. Because this is the real cultivation. When you do, don't try to know. Silent. Just relax, aware. Maintain the awareness. That's why sati is very important. Mindfulness is very important. Leading to heedfulness. And the whole of the cultivation is to understand through pariyatti the true essential Buddha Dharma that the Buddha has taught. That's why this Friday talk in Klang, I'm going to talk on this. They give me another topic which I said not much meaning, and it doesn't serve the purpose of understanding and meditation. So I suggested another topic, the importance of understanding the true Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Because the way you develop the understanding through pariyatti is very important. You remember the first phase of Dhamma? When you truly understand, then only the second phase kick in. Patipatti. You put this teaching into practice or cultivation. You develop the wisdom through your own cultivation, through your own realization and understanding. Means that understanding of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha Dhamma, which is essentially the Four Noble Truths, this one needs to be understood clearly. The moment you understand, then you can put it into practice. That's why the advice of the Buddha is what? What are the advice of the Buddha? All Buddha when they come? Sabba, Papasa akaranang. What is that? All evil is to be avoided. Then kusa lesa upasamadan means whatever wholesomeness, if there is condition to do, you have to develop it, cultivate it. Then the final one is cicitta pariyodhapanam. Purify the mind. Etang buddhana sasana. That is the advice of all Buddha. You must develop clear understanding why the Buddha advised you this way. And when you understood him clearly, your cultivation become automatic and you will never violate this advice. That's why you must have very, very powerful understanding. And it comes from the first right view with regards to law of karma. The five daily contemplate, they are all connected. That's why he say we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. We inherit everything. So if you don't understand this statement deeply, you cannot put his teaching into practice. It is from this right view, because your life depends so much on what? The Buddha says you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition as well. You are what you are because of karma. Means your life depends so much on? So what must you do? Take care of karma. How you take care? We only go into this path now. Avoid all evil. Do good. That's why you keep your precept. You only know the theory. You know. You have not understood why you have to do and how you will go all out and do. Because you never go into it. That's why you cannot understand. But today, this morning, my wife want to sleep. I said, you go ahead. I go and buy my own breakfast. So instead of buying my usual one that my wife buy, I went to the Malay store that sell this fried mee and fried beehoon and the fried rice and the nasi lemak thing. When I was there at the store, there was one cat. No, I think stray cat. This cat, I tell you, got affinity. He came and just very soothingly go through my leg here near the pants down here. Very smooth. Then, because I fully aware, then I knew. I said, okay, thank you. I said, it's okay. I said, I want to have my breakfast. So I bought my thing, then I ordered my drink, then I was eating there. This cat never disturbed me. You know. He was 2 feet away from me. Quiet there. Didn't even meow. Didn't even like want to ask for anything. But then as I eat, because I was very mindful, then I observed. Then I saw. Then I suspect he need food. No, he want food. But he dare not meow. And he dare not ask. He dare not even come and like disturb me or whatever. He just sat there. And all of a sudden, the Dhamma arise. No? Because of past affinity, because of past parami, this cat has this condition. No? Then when I realized that, I want to give him something. I realized I finished my breakfast already. I eat until clean the whole plate. Nothing else to give to the cat. No? Then this understanding came, no? Because of the cat's parami in the past, because he has done, maybe not as a cat in the past, he has done something that created the condition, because that thing come in Mandarin, no? It's like 前世因, past condition and affinity brought you here. If you want to understand why the condition manifests, you will have to understand this law of karma. If it's not because of past parami, qian si yin, this cat will not be in this condition. Then you know what happened. I go and buy another fish. Freshly going out. Straight away the head, I pass it to you. Oh, he was so happy. He was eating. Then because I already full, I cannot eat much. So I slowly rip off the pieces of fish meat and give. Then the bone also give. So I think he eat 3/4. I only eat a bit, about a quarter. Then I rejoice, I say, as a cat also you have this parami. Means what? He has planted the seed of goodness, wholesomeness. That's why when you live life as a human being, don't take for granted. That's why whatever wholesomeness you can do, you must do. Because these are your parami. These are your karmic inheritance. Because you may not know when you will be born as a cat or a dog or what. That's why some of those European cat and dog, my wife saw, they were so blessed. Got coat to wear one, fur and all those things, and sit in the high class area, Harrod, and all those area. So you must understand what parami is, understand? That's why avoid all evil is to plant the seed of goodness, is to avoid whatever negative condition, so that you, when you come, choose to come or have to come, you have good condition. You don't have to go through all those human suffering that human being has been going through. Understand? Then whatever goodness, even feeding a cat sincerely, can bring forth such great parami. To you, it's like, are you this cat? Why is? It's like a nonsense, a nuisance. You want to shoo, especially those cats that come and disturb you, meow. Then come and catch out you. I tell you, you will kick. If you don't have dhamma, you will kick. Don't come. But when you have dhamma, it's different. Then that cat also like have dhamma, tak kacau. So then I saw the condition, and this is dhamma. And human being cannot see this. Doesn't mean that I want the type of part of me when I become cat. No! It's because I saw. Without that past condition, that's why Sariputta, they all can awaken. This is how it applies. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained, which is the Buddha. He told Asaji. That is the meaning, understand? So you will know what to do, understand? Because there is condition to do. And that cat got the parami to receive. That's why they will have owner that will take care of them. Do all those things to them. But if you don't take care of karma, you know what happens? As a cat also, you become miserable, I tell you. Especially if you torture a cat. Or do all those funny things. Even your mate also, you torture, you think you're in authority, pour hot water, do all those things. In future, you become mate, you cannot back on people, understand? That's why this is what Dhamma is all about. If you can see all this, life after life you come, you will never harm, deceive, cheat, or do any of these things. That's why precept become automatic. You will heed the advice of the world. You will never violate this nature's law. You will cultivate causes and conditions for good things to arise. And you will be a blessing to all. So this is what real cultivation is all about. When you understand, you do it naturally. Not through the thought, oh, next time I become cat, I better buy insurance. I feed. So next time people feed me. And you think like that, you finish, I tell you. Understand? You do because there is condition to do. And you understand this is important. Because as animal, as cat, they got nothing else to depend on except their karma. That's it. That's why the Buddha said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are, every moment, every instant, because of our karma. If you somehow don't wake up and live your life in accordance with this understanding, you will never cultivate. I tell you, your cultivation no meaning. You go retreat, come out, no use. You will still be the same, I tell you. But the way you live your life, you don't have this understanding. You don't have this right view. You don't have this cultivation. You are not worthy of the Buddha's disciple. Because you never heed his advice. You never do the thing that he advised you to do. But you cannot see. That's how your selfishness continues. Everything is about me. you can never understand condition. That's why enlightened being, they do things differently. Got condition, people whom you don't know also they have one. They will go all out to do all those things because there is condition to do. But when there is no condition, nothing happens. That's it. Finish. You cannot say, you, this guy, don't have compassion. Very, what, like, no feeling on because you cannot understand. You perceive it that way because according to you, it appears like that. But according to the wise one, they can see the causes and conditions. It's different. That's why they do things different. That's why my nature do things also different. It doesn't mean that you are closer to me. I will like favor you and help you more. No such thing. If you don't have condition, nothing happens. But if you have condition, people whom I don't know, I will advise, I will help, I will teach, I will share. Okay? We better stop. It's already 10:36. Okay. You can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. I exceeded about 10 minutes of your time. Sorry about that. Okay, we will do a quick sharing of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Aka satta cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodit chuhang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.